Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Villa Speaks. I am Villa Willis, the host of this program, and I am glad and grateful that you're here today. The purpose of this program is to provide information, resources, tips, and keys that help you with personal and professional development, work-life balance, and creating and living your best life. My intention is to give you access to experts who can assist you in making these last months, and now we're in the last 2 months. When we started this journey together, we were the first week end of September, and we're looking at making the last 4 months the best 4 months of 2018, and now we're looking at making the last 2 months the best months of this year, and also to give you an amazing foundation for having a fulfilling, fun, joyful, and transformative 2019. And so today I have an awesome expert, today a woman who has helped me in my business and has affected my life. And so my special guest today is Kathy Pearson. She is a life-altering, empowering business life and mindset coach, and she works with people on a mission to live life in alignment with true authenticity. She has authenticity. She has been a licensed psychologist for over 15 years, working in both the clinical and educational sector, specializing in positive and behavioral psychology. She has been featured at conferences and workshops. Some of those topics include fostering resilience after trauma, the science of gratitude, and the highway to happiness, just to name a few. She has participated in video interviews and various speaking engagements. Kathy's mission is to coach and empower women to begin to live a life that they've only dreamed of possible, and by becoming experts and thought leaders in their area of expertise and essentially living life on their terms. She has worked with thousands of clients that have experienced life-changing results and breakthroughs to change the trajectory of their life, and with her supportive, responsive coaching techniques that provide clarity, powerful, and impactful content, her clients have been able to carve out a life in true alignment with who they are, who they were created to be, and live life on their own terms. And so also want to publicly congratulate Kathy for getting to 10,000 followers on Instagram. And it's because she does a work that is changing people's lives. And so before I bring her on, I want just let's all get centered and focused so that we can hear and be present to what this great woman has to say today and to what she has to pour into our lives. So I'm going to invite you to take 3 centering breaths with me. And without further ado, let me bring on Kathy. Good morning,
young
lady. Are you there? Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, darling.
All right. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm so excited and I'm so honored that you would include me on your wonderful podcast.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you here. And I, one of the things that I want to encourage women who are listening, that you and I met on Instagram, and that Instagram is a great place for socializing. And the other thing is that you and I do something very similar. So it could be that I'm not going to like her or follow her because she's doing the same thing as me. But why would I not like and follow someone who is doing the same thing as me? Because we both want to empower and touch women's lives. And so I want to thank you for what you do. I also want to thank you for the amazing event you had last month with Dinner for Dreamers. If you don't know about it, it was like a brain, mind, life, for me, business altering event where I was able to just be around the energy that I was telling everyone. I wished I had a camera of the energy that was going above all of our heads as we were talking, exchanging ideas, and it was just a wonderful event, and I want to thank you for that. And now I'm going to give the show to you. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, okay, today what I wanted to talk about is how to get out of your way and create the life that you want. Now, this is the thing. So many of us, we will state that we want to do better, or we know deep down. Like, I'll talk to clients on clarity conversation calls, discovery calls, if you may, and the first thing they'll say is, I know that there is more for me to do, right? We know that there's more, but it's about getting from knowing that there's more visualizing the more, gaining clarity on what the more is, to then turn those thoughts into a reality and make them tangible. So basically what I wanted to do is just kind of go over what I would see as the five steps on what you have to do to create the life that you want and get out of your way. Does that sound good?
It sounds good, and it sounds like you're going to talk about acting, some action.
Exactly. But, you know, the first thing that I think that you have to do before you act is I think you have to get clear on what is it that you want. You see, one thing I noticed about just people in general is we can always say what we don't want. We can always say what we don't like in a mate, what we don't want. But when we focus on what we don't want, it causes resistance for us to go after what we want. And many people, I find, they're more readily able to say what they don't want because guess what? Once you put it out into the universe what you want, then you have to hold yourself accountable to do the work to go out and make it happen. You have to hold yourself accountable.
Like attracts like. So if you keep talking about what you don't want, that's what you're going to draw to yourself. And so, Kathy, you're so right. Talk about what you do want and then be able and ready to receive it. And to be it is what I think you're going to say.
Exactly. Because the reality is this, and this is what I always tell my friends when they say, oh, you're so positive and you're just so positive. And it's not that. It's just, let me tell you, Villa, well, let me go back to go forward. Before I became the woman that I was today, I grew up in a household, I'm 47, so I was born in 71, and back then there wasn't a lot of information in the African-American culture, depression and mental illness, but I now know that my mother suffered debilitating depression and mental illness my whole life. Now, what then happened was, as you know, a person that is depressed, the way that they treat their child changes from day to day. It's like you're on that roller coaster. If you're on your meds and if you choose happiness, you can be happy that day. But then what happens after the day of happiness? The big fall. So what happened with me and growing up in a house with a mother that was suffered debilitating depression and mental illness was it was very hard because I had a mother that was unhappy. She could not tackle her demon, so she wanted everyone else to be unhappy. So she could readily tell me what I couldn't do. She could talk down to me and make me feel as if I didn't have a voice, as if I wouldn't amount to anything, as if I couldn't do anything, but she could never speak positivity into my life. She couldn't tell me that she loved me. She couldn't give me hugs, and she just wasn't available in that way. So what then happened for me, I had this weird dichotomy going on because at home, I was nothing, right? I was a piece of shit. I wasn't going to amount to anything. But then at school and outside of the home, other people saw good qualities in me. But
okay.
What do we readily tend to believe? The negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was living in between these two worlds of, okay, wait a minute. I can't really be all this because other people see good things in me. So I grew up hating sleep because I blame sleep for me not having a connection with my mother. I hated the word crazy because that's what people referred to my mother as, and they would talk about my mother in front of me as if I didn't know, which that's why I really don't like it when adults talk about adult stuff in front of kids, because kids are very smart. You think we don't pick up and we don't know, but we know. So what happened for me was I went to college because that's where I could get gratification. That's where I felt somewhat good about myself. But it was a false sense of good void, and that void was there with me for so many years. But I'll tell you this, Villa, the day that I looked in the DSM-4 when I was practicing to be a psychologist and I saw the definition for depression, it changed my life.
That's right, because now you had a framework and you had an understanding.
Yes, that was redemption for me. It was like, Kathy, your mother doesn't hate you. She was depressed. Kathy. And it could make me feel like, okay, well, wait, if she was depressed, then all the things that she said about me were a result of this illness. So I'm not a bitch. I'm not a piece of shit. I'm not a person that won't amount to anything. It could be the exact opposite. That gave me so much redemption, and it essentially changed my life because it made me feel like you're not all those things. Maybe you're not. For the life of me, why someone in my family could never, could why they couldn't stop spending the time talking about my mother and helping these three kids that were lost and broken, why they couldn't wrap us up in hugs and say, your mom doesn't hate you, she's just depressed. Maybe they didn't know what was going on. But no one ever tried to help us, but they would readily talk about her. And I feel as though in life, going back to what I'm talking about today, it helped me to gain clarity on, you know what, be clear about what you want and be able to stand on that, right? Being able to stand on that and gain clarity on what you want. Because back then, if someone would have been rooted on their clarity and know their truth, they would have said, you know what? It's not right to ostracize these children and talk about their mother. We need to help them. We need to love
true,
on them.
True.
But that never happened for us. So going forward, as I became a psychologist and I realized that there were some redeemable qualities about me, when I realized this theory of us having power and us being able to use our words to empower us, Villa, it changed my life because it put the power in my hands. And it's like, wait, I know that I can achieve some great things because I put myself through college. I still made something of my life when there was no one there to help me and support me. How I did it, I really don't know, but I just got through and I was just so determined. And I think that a lot of that was God was always there guiding me. Like there had to be something that was always there pushing me, because how did I achieve these things and I had no support to do it, but I still did it. And there was something bigger there propelling me forward. But going back to this subject.
Now, let me stop you just for 1 second, because you said something so important. You know, one of the things is that but how other people define you does not have to be the definition. And that when you get clarity about who you are, you then have the power to define yourself and who, and you can act from that. I think about Les Brown, who's a very popular personal development speaker, in that when he was a kid, they said that he was retarded, that he could be educated, but he was retarded and he wasn't going to amount to anything. And so he lived that label. And everyone at his school believed that. But when he got a teacher, and when he told the teacher, well, I'm retarded or whatever was the thing, and the teacher said, I don't care about that. You're still going to do this math problem. And when the teacher redefined him, he was like, oh, just like you said, oh, I have the power to define myself. And then when you define yourself as, well, I got out of college, I got something going on, and I was able to do this, I got something to go on, you rebuilt the foundation. And then you are made you go. So, yeah, you're part of that clarity. You say not what you want, it's what you want. Say what you want, and then that makes a part of who you are. If I want to be positive, I want to be powerful, I want to be wealthy, I want to be loving, then I have to define myself in those terms.
Exactly. So once I got this concept of creating the life you want, using the words to empower you, using your thoughts to empower you, which that's a lot of what I teach, because it's so powerful. And what I tell my friends is that I can be positive because, hey, we're all going to think thoughts. We're going to use words. My life is so much better when I use words and thoughts that empower me, when I turn a blind eye to what I don't want and only focus on what I want. And that's the only difference, Villa. I'm not living in this, you know, glass house. I'm not living in this world of unicorns and rainbows. That's not what it is. I know that negative things exist. We all know. But how different and how much better could your life be if you just said, I choose to focus on words that serve me. I choose to only engage in actions that will propel me forward. Yes? And
yes,
that goes along with doing what you want. So first, how to get out of your way and create the life you want. You have to know what you want. Get clarity. And how can you get clarity? I think there's so many multiple ways. the first thing that happened for me when I left my job after being a psychologist for 16 years, which was so hard, Villa, because, you know, I lost myself in being a psychologist, because people look at you, especially when you're African-American, they almost put you on this pedestal like, oh, my God, you're a professional. They look at you with adoration and admiration, and they seek your advice, and they look at you as a different person that's made it. And to be able to make it and have the money and have the career and get to the mountaintop and say I'm miserable, right? To say I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, and to recognize that. And to make that change, a lot of my colleagues, they were like, we can't leave the money and the benefits. But it's like, I was dying, Villa. I was essentially dying a slow death. I was becoming a part of what I like to call the walking, living, breathing dead club. Like, I was dead inside.
Yes, because and you discovered that what makes you happy isn't outside of you, it's inside of you.
Exactly, and I didn't know myself. So once I got clear, so what I did is I left my job, and when I went on leave for my job, I didn't know what I was going to do, Villa. All I knew was I had years and years of sick time because, you know, like so many people, you can give 100% for the company store and for that outside organization and give nothing to yourself, and that's what I did for 17 years. So I just knew I had to leave there. And when I left there, I didn't know. I just knew that there was always a voice in my ear that said, Kathy, there's more for you. Kathy, you're meant to do so much more. And I couldn't ignore that voice anymore. So when I left my job, it was just like, I have to leave here. I'm stressed. I'm unhappy. I'm losing myself. And no job is worth your soul. And I'll tell anybody that. No job, no career is worth you losing you. It's not worth it.
Say it again.
No job. No career is worth losing your soul. And, Villa, I was losing my soul. And so I didn't do everything I've done to impress people, to say, oh, I'm doing this. I did it to save my life, in essence, because I was dying. I was dying a slow death. And it was at that time that I've always been a strong person, and I knew, like, I would never commit suicide. And this isn't no shame or blame on anyone that's been suicidal, but it was in that moment that I knew why people committed suicide. I could understand the mindset behind it when you get in that dark place. But anyway, moving forward from that, I knew that I had to leave there. And then I started saying, you know what? I've done enough of the negative, putting positive stuff in my mind. And then I started hearing about meditation, and I started doing that. And I'm not saying that meditation is for everybody, but what I'm saying is you have to find something to turn off your mind so you can tune into something bigger than you that's always been with you, leading you and guiding you and directing you. Some people call it intuition. Some people call it God. Some people call it universal intelligence. But it's that thing, and you know what that thing is, that thing when you're in a bad situation and something tells you, I need to leave, and then 10 minutes later there's a shooting there, right? That thing that tells you, I better go check on my dad. Dad, I need to take you to the doctor. Something's wrong. And I take him to the doctor, and we find out he has stage 4 cancer. There's something bigger than all of us. And whatever you want to name it, it's fine. But you got to get real with that. So that's what I did, Villa. I had to think about, I left that job, and I said, Kathy, what do you want? First I had to say, Kathy, who are you? Then I had to say, what do you want? And it took time. And it took me looking in the mirror and telling myself that I wasn't happy. And I'll never forget driving to Costco to get some gas, and I was listening to Oprah, who I love. I know I'm a meter.
My
one
girl.
Day, she was in a my our girl. And she was talking to Ayala Van Zandt. And Ayala Van Zandt said something so powerful, and it struck me to this day. Before this, see, we'll play games with ourselves, and we'll tell ourselves lies. And I've gotten out of that, and I thank God I did. But up until that point, I had been telling myself a lie. Well, I left my job. It just didn't work out. I'll go work for someone else. It just didn't work out. And Ayala Van Zandt was talking to Oprah, and Ayala said, we lie to ourselves. But she said, the fact of the matter is this. If you are not experiencing peace, God is not at the wheel. You are driving. Ego. Ego is leading and guiding your life. Because God is peace. And if you have nothing, if you have no peace in your life, you're driving the wheel. And Villa, it hit me. Because at that moment, I had to be honest and say I was experiencing everything except peace. I had no peace in my life. Always anxious. I was always nervous. I was so unhappy. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. And at that point, I had to surrender my life, Villa. I had to. And I had to surrender because I had to say, you know what? I've driven my life into destruction, chaos, into a dark place. So I said, I got to let go and surrender to something bigger than me, and maybe I can get to a happier place. So all I'm going to tell you is know what you want and do something to turn off the noise so you can get clarity. Turn off the noise. Maybe it's not meditation. Maybe it's something else for you. But search your soul and figure out what that is to you and how it can manifest in your life so you can get clear about what you want and what it will take to get there. Start getting specific on the details. You know, some of us, we're unhappy and we want to say, oh, I just want to be happy. I just want more money. I just want a good relationship. Too vague. Okay, well, if you want some money, how much money do you want? Name it. Name the amount. There's nothing wrong with wanting money. You know, we act like there's something wrong, or we act like mediocrity and limitation is supposed to be our life.
Oh.
God comes so that we can have
say
a life
that sentence
have life
again. Okay, say that whole thing again, and end with John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it more. So, yes, we'd act like mediocrity. That is so important that is you just hit. Say it again.
We act like mediocrity and limiting beliefs, like that's supposed to be our life. God comes that we have life and have life more abundant. You're not having an abundant life when you have to rob Peter to pay Paul. You're not living an abundant life when you cannot give yourself or your family the experiences you want to have. See, people ask me, okay, oh, this summer you went to the Bahamas? I have friends, Villa, that didn't go on a vacation, and you work for somebody every day. I was in the Bahamas because, guess what, Villa? I could feel the water touching my body in visualizations before I even went. I could see me parasailing. I could see me in the Bahamas having a good time. I visualized that. I knew it was for me, and I made it happen. Guys, we don't get what we want. We don't get what we say we are. We get what we believe. What do you believe? Do you believe that you deserve that $10,000 by December 1st? Believe it. Claim it. What is it that you need to get to where you want to go? And don't be ashamed of that. There's no shame or blame in that. There's no
shame
and blame in
wanting. And that's part of the – you're talking about two things. So one of the things you touched on so earlier is that in our community, in the African-American community, we don't talk about stuff. So we don't talk about mental illness. We don't talk about sexual assault. We don't talk about money. We talk about – my mom to this day still is hoping that I'm going to go get a job. She wants my daughter to go work for the post office. And it's like, no, that okay.
No.
But then the other thing – the other thing in our community is about get that PhD, get that paper, because that means you're important. But again, it's all about looking outside of ourselves. And then the thing that you don't, whether you're African American, white American, Japanese American, Asian American, red American, blue, white, purple, green American, is that we think that mediocrity is okay. And that we weren't made to be mediocre. We were made to be excellent.
We were made to thrive. Oh, okay, well, it's okay. I'll just stay in this apartment with me and my sister and our five kids. We're okay in this two-bedroom apartment. We make it work. No, you weren't put here to make stuff work. You weren't put here to thrive. You weren't put here for that. You weren't put here for that. We were put here to thrive. You cannot shrink your way into greatness.
That's true. And the other thing you talked about, women are too often socialized to give and not receive. So part of what you're saying, I want every woman listening to this to take a deep breath, receive. You know, I took a class at my church. It was called The Power of Receiving. And we had to do this whole exercise where you just sit like, oh, brash. You're like, I want a Mercedes-Benz, and I want $5 million in my account, and I want to go to the Bahamas. And one woman said she couldn't do the exercise because she felt it was wrong to ask so boldly. And so that... You know, how do you get what you want if you don't ask for it? I mean, all of us that have children know that your kids have said, I want this. And you don't go, you're bad for asking. So how come when you become an adult, you can't ask? And then be ready to receive.
Let me tell you why. This is the thing. When you know what you want, attach the feeling with it. See, like, I attach the feeling. Why do you want it? What are you going to do with it? How is it going to spread more goodness in the world? And then that puts you in place in alignment to receive more of it, right? It can't just be a selfish carnal. I want $10,000 on December 1st. And when I get that $10,000, I will tithe 700 of it to the homeless, because that is a charity. That is a condition in this world that's near and dear to my heart. I will take another $2,000 of that in my debt to pay down my debt, because I don't want to be in bondage to debt. I will take another $2,000 of that and put that down on a trip to Costa Rica for me and my daughter, because I want to expand her knowledge of the world and what the world has to offer. Getting this money will give me a sense of so much joy, happiness, accomplishment, and a sense of fulfillment that I was able to help somebody that's homeless, that's worse off than me. Do you see the difference, Villa? How each bit
definitely
is allocated.
Definitely. Girl, you teaching me. Preach. Go ahead now. We having church up in here right now.
So that brings me to number three. Write that empowering statement, and it could be as simple as what I just said. That was an example of one. What is the amount of money? By when? How will it make you feel to get it? Right? Feelings you're attaching. And you know what? Believe that you can get it. See, so attach the feeling. Villa, honestly, I see RVs lying down the street by my house. And sometimes I go out there and I talk to them, and I pray with them, and I talk to them like, what happened? How did you get here? And homelessness is something that if I make a lot of money, I'm going to be giving some money to shelters. Like, it's just something that touches me. And I think everyone has their thing. But I want to help that cause. I want to help that, because I don't believe that everyone's – I just see our country as rich as it is. I don't think anyone deserves to live like that. I really don't.
I agree.
I really don't. And it's just something that touches me. So what are you going to give the money to? Name your charity. Name your cause. No, if you're not making a lot of money, you can't give a whole lot, but there's something that you can give. And what is the feeling that you're going to attach with yourself when you see yourself, me, walking into the homeless shelter, coming off the street, giving them a check for $700? How am I going to feel? How am I going to feel paying down my debt? How am I going to feel doing whatever I'm going to do with the money? And attach that belief. Believe that you can get it. Believe it. But see, a lot of us, we don't want to go into that detail. We don't want to make it that specific. But you need that amount of detail. And when you write that empowering belief, what you're going to do with the money, read it to yourself every morning and every night before you go to bed. And if you can, make that the last thing you read about when you go to bed, so it can get embedded in your subconscious. And you can think about that and dream about that.
If you can believe it, we are down to the last. True. We are
what?
Down to the last minute. I want to make sure people know how to contact you. That's what I meant to start with, but
sorry.
I was so excited to get you
so
on.
Much.
I didn't ask you. No, that's
okay,
what the whole point. Tell people how they can find you. Get in contact with you. Okay.
Empowering belief. Act as if and take massive action. Action, action, action. Now, how you can find me, on Facebook, I am Kathy Pearson. On Instagram, I am Kathy Pearson 46. I also have a Facebook group that I am growing, and I have a wonderful group of ladies in there, and Villa is one of those women. It's called Clarity Seekers Collective. I also have my Dinner with Dreamers that I'm going to continue every month, and it's just where we as women can get together in positivity and productivity.
And it was one of the best days of my life. So needless to say, I've got to have you back on the program. You've inspired me again. I'm ready to hang up and start writing down the stuff that I need to do. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kathy, so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Villa, and thank you for those of you that are listening as well.
All right, darling. I will talk to you later. Thank you so much again.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.